Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
And coming to you from springtime in South Africa, where it's lovely for us Canadians, my name is Tony Coppell. It's exactly a month to go until the Doxa Arts Festival. This is an arts festival with a difference. Everything that you'll see and enjoy there has Christian content, so in the visual art, many of the pieces will have been created as a result of Christian inspiration. I caught up with the people who've been organizing it, responsible for it, Carl Hreling and Bernadette Otto at Worcester Christian Church, and they told me how things are going and what we can all expect. Today I have with me, and it's a privilege, Carl Hreling and Bernadette Otto. I hope I pronounced you correctly. And we're going to be talking about the Doxa Arts Festival, which is coming up on the 13th of October. So not too long. In fact, it's just a month from today. So welcome to CWCP, Bernadette and Carl.
Thank you. Good to have you.
Great to be here, Tony.
So let's assume that some people listening here know nothing about this. They're hearing about it for the first time. So I'd like one of you, perhaps Carl would be good, to just tell us a little bit about it, what it's for, the location, and where the name Doxa came from.
Well, the Doxa Arts Festival is a Christian arts festival covering all genres, arts genres, which will be taking place this year for the first time. Worcester Christian Church was kind enough to take it under their wing and play host for the festival. The various genres that it will include is obviously music, your visual arts, photography, painting, sculptures, dramas, dances. And then there will also be an arts and crafts market and a food market for the hungry.
And where did this name Doxa come from? Is it Latin or maybe Greek?
It's Greek, meaning the glory of God.
Oh. And also, Doxa also means weight, the weight or the opinion of God. And it's what God's saying over us. So when we celebrate the Doxa Arts Festival, it's about celebrating God's opinion and the weight of His glory.
Now, who had the idea for this festival? I think that was you, Carl, wasn't it? Can you tell us where it came from and what has happened? How has it grown?
Yeah, I think it was God's idea. He just spoke to me and I listened. He started speaking to me about, I think it was roughly 2 years ago. I had the privilege, donkey years ago, to perform myself at various arts festivals. And I started thinking, why is there no Christian arts? And then God started speaking to me and asked me, but why don't you start something? Yeah.
That's the way it happens sometimes, isn't it? Someone complains and then, well, why don't you do something about it?
You do something about it. That's true.
He has that tendency.
Yeah.
Yes. So that came into your mind, but now it's just a month to go. A lot has happened. Tell us a little bit about the process, how it's materialized.
I took the idea to Bernadette, just shared the overall vision with her. She became excited about it, asked me to set up a proposal, a more detailed layout of what it should involve, what the vision behind it is. That took me about a year and a half before I actually sat down and did it. And I presented it to Bernadette, and she took it to our pastor, Johannes Koenraad, and the church then decided, okay, we're getting on board. And I think at the moment we're about four committee members working together. Obviously, each guy's got their own section of the arts festival that they are organizing and seeing that everything's in place.
I should have asked you this earlier, Carl, but what is your background? What is your particular skill? What have you worked at most of your life? I know about Bernadette, she's a musician, but I don't know about you.
I'm actually a marketer. I was a financial advisor for most of my life. Also tried my hand at property, selling property. And yeah, I think also roughly 2 years ago, I just felt God wants me somewhere else. I wasn't sure where, so I started a small business on the sideline, and during that time, this idea of the Doxa Arts Festival grew, and it seems as if it will grow from this year onwards to something much bigger.
And Bernadette, we see every week, just about. She is one of the key worship leaders here in Worcester Christian Church. And I love it when she's on, which is most of the time. I'm glad about that. Now, all arts festivals are beneficial to their communities. We were in Grahamstown a couple of months ago at the time of their festival, and you could feel it in the air. But this one, I feel, and you've already hinted about this, that you have ulterior motives or additional reasons for this one that you're trying to do. Could you just expand on that? It's more than just letting people sell a piece of art. There's something else that is on your mind.
Well, if I can say we live in an area where there's almost every weekend there's a festival somewhere. And so we sense that people want to celebrate. They want to. Just I think the circumstances in our country as well. People want to have a time of celebration and joyous moments. But we've experienced that a lot of the festivals in this area is very much focused on not on God. I mean, it's focused on celebration and wine and food, which is great. But in our hearts, and I know as I spoke with Carl, he was very persistent to say, we will not celebrate just life, but we will celebrate the glory of God. And so it does set it apart from what we experience on a wine estate or some other festival. So it is definitely a festival or a feast with a difference.
Now, you have a famous headliner here. He's going to be a good draw, Joe Niemann.
Yes.
How did you manage to get him?
Well, I told Carl, if you ask me that, I'm going to say I asked him. But I know in Carl's proposal, he had a few names that he felt would be. We didn't want someone, especially Carl, didn't want someone that just sang Christian music for the sake of singing Christian music, but actually is a worshiper by heart. And so we did ask a few guys, but Joe was the one that said, listen, I realized that there's a budget and there's something about the arts in his heart. So they came back to us and he's booked. But also just to say in the morning, we will have also a children act, which is really, really famous in the area. And they will also perform. It's called Umkarolas and Lente, which means spring. And it's like a puppet show, but it's very good for the children. And they will also be performing the morning. And then Joe will be performing the evening.
Now, you already mentioned, Carl, that this is arts in a very broad sense, lots of different kinds of arts. I'd like you to go into a bit more detail here about what people can expect to see. Some people are interested in just one type of art and others in many of them. So I do know that there are things going to be going on outside. Hopefully the sun will shine, and also things going on inside. So spend a little time telling us the sorts of people that will be showing off their arts.
Okay. First of all, as I said, it's Christian art. I have had quite a few people that commented, but I paint to the glory of God. Everything I paint is to His glory. I totally agree with that. You can paint a house and say, I did it to God's glory. But for me, the essence of this festival is to show or to display Christian art and expose the general public to Christian-orientated arts. So I've invited three fairly well-known visual artists. You can just run through them. Jaco Sieberhagen, who's a sculptor, world-famous. Louis Struer, he's a painter, also world-famous. And then Emil Manefeld here from Worcester. He's actually a gynecologist, but he also is an artist. Also fairly famous. And then we've got some upcoming artists, painters mainly, which is also part of the vision, is to provide a platform for upcoming artists to display their art and to help them develop their arts career. Then, as Bernadette mentioned, we've got a children's program running. We've got, throughout the day, we've got stage performances, which will include bands, solo artists, dance groups, poets, instrumentalists. And then outside, we will have the arts and crafts market, a food court with various food stalls. So there'll be more than enough to feed the flesh and hopefully to feed the spirit as well.
And I'm assuming, since you used the word market, that people who want to come and buy things are going to be able to do that.
Yes, it'll be mainly a cash day. The arts, obviously, the visual arts, some of the paintings are running in the price range of thousands.
Yeah.
So we don't expect you to come here with a bag full of money. So we'll have EFT facility for the visual art payments. But the food stalls and arts and crafts stalls and the ticket sales are all on a cash basis.
Now, I'll make a statement, and you can tell me if you agree with me, that somebody who is inspired to produce art of any kind, it's a form of worship.
Great.
That's where you feel that's the same. I certainly do. Yeah. And it's a way in which one can express one's love for God in art.
Yeah. One cannot create without being creative, and God is a great creative one. And so we just want to express what He has given us and to display what we can do and not get the wow for man, but actually at the end say, wow, God. So that's what we want to see happen. Just for interesting sake, because it's a church that's involved, it's going to be very community-driven. So there's, I think, about 12 men's groups making poikikos. I don't know if you know what is poikikos, Tony, but it's good South African food. And so people will come and be able to have lunch, and there will be a food court outside while there's, my friend Tony is DJing, by the way, and performing. So they are welcome to come and just enjoy. And then there will be crafts to walk around and view and see and buy. There will also be books. So there will be the whole day. You will be entertained, but also just have good, great, healthy community as well.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. What happens if it's raining?
That you will be informed on the day. There will always be a plan B.
You can always dance in the rain.
Okay, so now hopefully our audience is interested in what's going on. We've told them some of these things, and they'll be curious to know a little bit more. Let's cover some organizational details. What's the price? How much to get in?
It's 50 Rand for an adult, which means it's a day pass, which gives you access to all the galleries, to the food court, and obviously to the Joe Niemann show, which is the evening, which is important. And the children is 20 Rand for per child, from the age of 3 to 12.
At what time do things start up on the Saturday morning?
The gates will open at 10 o'clock. So you can start and come and have some tea at the tea garden, some cake, some poikikos the whole day from 10. And then at 6, the main auditorium will open for the Joni Munch show. Yeah.
You say the gates are open at 10. Does that mean all the exhibits and everything will be there at 10?
Yeah.
From 10 o'clock.
Everybody will be ready at 10.
Yeah. I need to remember that for personal reasons.
Please make a note of that.
Would you suggest people bring folding chairs, particularly if they don't like standing for too long?
There will be a food court with seating, so I didn't suggest that it's necessary. There will be ample seating, and also in the evening it will be in the church where there is enough seating for everybody.
Yeah.
You are welcome to bring it if you want to, but there will be seating.
Yeah. And Joe's going to start up at... you said 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock, the doors will open up, but he starts at 6:30.
At 6:30.
So come early enough to be in front so you can get a good seat.
Right. And is he bringing musicians to sing with him? Or is
you know, Joe Niemann needs niemand. You know what niemand means? It means nobody.
Oh.
Joe only needs himself. He's got a magnificent voice. So now he's a solo performer.
Does he play the guitar?
No, he doesn't. When you hear him, you'll know.
Okay.
His voice is enough for anything. There's some good songs. There's one song that's called, in Afrikaans, Ek sal nie bang wees nie, which means I will not be afraid. And all the glory to the king. If you just listen to it, you realize that he's anointed with voice capabilities.
Yeah. Now, I think you told us this already, but what time will people be going home, just so in case they have somebody coming to pick them up? What time should they be?
We plan to not later than 8 o'clock, so let's say for safety it will be 8:30. But the festival starts at 10, and then we run until 8 o'clock in the evening.
But that's not really the complete end, is it? The next day we have church service.
That's correct.
What's going to be different on that church service from the previous week?
It's going to be a little bit different. Especially it's also going to have a focus on the arts. There will be a drama, there will be a dance number, and there will be also a musical production. And there will be obviously worship for the congregation. Where Joe is more of a performer, solo performer, there will be worship on the Sunday. And I believe that our pastor would speak about the creativity of God as well. So we're not going to just end. And if there's more poikikos, we will eat again and again and again. So it's not going to stop. It starts at 9:15 on the Sunday morning.
Will there be some of the pieces of art displayed around the church?
Yes, there will be two galleries open and some of the art will move into the auditorium.
So this sounds to me like even if you've never set foot in Worcester Christian Church before, you should come that Sunday.
You should come that Sunday.
All sorts of,
and important to know that the 50 Rand gate charge is only for the Saturday. On the Sunday there will be no charge. You're welcome to come.
Okay, so you've got 1 month, you two, to bring this thing together. How are things going? How are the preparations?
It's scary to think there's only a month left, but I think we're making excellent progress. Everything's in place. One or two minor issues that still need to be sorted out, but they're very minor.
We're excited.
If you had a wish for something that you're not quite sure how it's going to happen, is there anything that right now you're looking for an answer?
Mine is the weather.
The weather.
Yeah, because it's summer. It's not high summer, but it's summer. But it's usually windy. But we're asking God for a nice, quiet, slightly warm day that's going to be filled with fun and family. That's the only thing. But I mean, yeah, we'll take it from there.
I'm hoping we run out of space for all the people that want to come in.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's my objective as well. I want as many people to hear about this as possible because it sounds wonderful to me. And I'm sure it's going to be fun having met both of you and seen the kind of personalities you have. I think that you'll be like a nucleus of fun-filled activity. So thank you for the opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
We look forward to it very much indeed. God bless you both.
God bless you too.
Likewise.
And the location for the festival is Worcester Christian Church, 68 Baring Street. And their website is a Facebook page, Doxa Arts Festival, and more information by email, doxaartsfestival@gmail.com. Lorianne and I both have roles at Doxa. She is exhibiting three recent pieces of art, and I will be the DJ during part of the program, announcing what's coming up, and I will also be singing a few songs where poems were written by inmates in jails, and I have put music to them. And now, over to Lorianne for Ways to Grow in God.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in God through service. What will you do with your gift? My name is Lorianne, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During our last broadcast, our eyes were opened in doing something for God. Some people call this stopping for the one, although it can also be called a divine appointment or a date with Jesus. The easiest way to do this right is to fill up on love from God and then allow His compassion to flow through us. If you are filled with love, it's easy for this love to be passed on to others. God then brings us people that are placed right in our path. They are often prepared for us, since they may be seekers. Other times, you are just meant to love on the person in front of you, even if they aren't ready to know Jesus yet. No matter what, you are stopping for the one. This is all about God's love and His timing, so be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. This means that those moments can happen when you least expect them. Love actually looks like something. The help that you give to one of these is usually practical. However, sometimes encouragement is what they need most. At that moment, that's what love looks like. The different expressions of love are as different as there are different kinds of people. Some of them speak and understand different love languages, so be mindful that how you may receive isn't always what they need. The five love languages, according to Gary Chapman, are words, like saying, I love you and I respect you, acts of service, physical touch, like hugs, pats on the shoulder, quality time by giving your full attention, and giving and receiving gifts. So if a lady who needs help with a new stove may appreciate a cup of tea and a sandwich, she really needs the gift of a new stove, or at least someone to fix it. I am always amazed how deep the love of God is, and that He chooses to use us as His sons and daughters. If we are to grow in ministering His love, we must grow in receiving that love. How deep is God's love? In our last broadcast, I mentioned Ephesians 3 verses 17 to 20 as a deep, pivotal passage. In short, God's love runs much deeper than you can imagine, and we must love. The greatest commandments tell us to do so. Jesus reminds us in Mark 12 verses 30 to 31 of the first commandment. This is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second greatest commandment is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the first commandment is to stop for the one, God. And the second is to stop for the one or the person that God brings us. This could easily be our neighbor. Yes, your neighbor. Think about that. Sometimes stopping for the one can involve some risk. However, I believe that God prepares the divine appointment for you and me. He also equips us and gives us what we need to respond. That's basically what the Good Samaritan did. You know what we should do? We need to get our eyes off our own insecurities and instead flip our understanding completely upside down. Remember the parable of the prodigal son? This story is made even more powerful when we look at it from the father's perspective. The father risked his reputation so he could run towards his wayward son. He didn't let that bother him, but instead he was filled with deep compassion. He didn't care that his son was in a bad state. He went to him anyway. Luke shares in Luke chapter 15, verse 20, while the younger son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son
threw his arms around him and kissed him. The father then gave his son a huge welcome and threw a lavish party. That shows mercy. That shows deep compassion. That shows deep generosity and even risk. So the story becomes the parable of the merciful father. So the story is the same with God the Father in his generosity in other ways. He is not stingy with our ministry gifts. Some of these gifts are natural skills, like talents and abilities. Some gifts are spiritual gifts, as shown in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, as well as other places in the Bible. We must use these gifts. We are actually accountable to God to use all that he has given us. Remember the parable of the talents? Here is Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30 in the NASB version. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought the 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also the one who had received 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who also had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave! You knew that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Such a warning indeed. A talent during New Testament times could be 130 pounds worth of silver or gold. That is a lot of precious metals. This could be worth up to 9 or 10 years of labor or even more. The talent would be worth even more today. So when the master entrusts his servants with 5 talents, 2 talents, or even 1 talent, that was a lot of resources. No wonder the servant entrusted with a 1 talent was frightened. Even that was a lot of money. It wasn't just 1 coin. I always just pictured the man hiding 1 coin, but burying 130 pounds of gold is such a waste. So it is true that the master was upset with the third servant for not using what was put into his care. This man is called a lazy servant, or in the NASB version, a wicked slave. The Message version calls the servant a criminal. Oh, my friends, I could almost imagine that grins on your faces as you heard me say this. Criminal. I've always felt bad about that passage, too. However, I've discovered that this passage isn't just about the guilt in not using what we're given. It's so much more than that. Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25 reminds us to be ready, as shown in the parables of the wise and foolish virgins, and then the sheep and the goats. Yet underneath this warning is an encouragement to believe God and have faith in his promises. Faith involves risk. God is pleased when we step out in faith, just as a parent is when their toddler walks towards them for the first time. The Message version of the parable of the talents show the master makes his first and second servants partners because they stepped out in faith. They used the gift the master had given them to use. They used it well. The master told both of them, Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner. The third servant was told, Take the talent and give it to the one who risked the most. And get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb. Eugene Peterson calls this parable the story about investment. But this is not just about money. It's about God's investment and risk in us. It's about opportunity. We still have that opportunity before us as long as we are breathing. It's not too late. We are cautioned, but not condemned. We still have a chance to obey and make it right. We can still make a difference. It doesn't matter how old you are. You don't have to be young to work for God. Remember Joshua and Caleb in Numbers 13? They were the Israeli spies who believed God when they went on a reconnaissance mission into Canaan, the Promised Land. But the other spies did not believe. They held the people back by their fearful reports of giants in the land. People were too afraid to trust God. Caleb was 80 when Israel was finally ready to cross the Jordan into the Promised Land. Joshua was also a senior when he led the people against Jericho under the instructions of the captain of God's army. They were preserved for that day, while the others were out of the picture. These are only two of the stories. The Apostle Paul encouraged his spiritual son Timothy that youth is also not a barrier to opportunity. Just like Jacob and Caleb could use their gifts for God well into their senior years, so youth are also given lots of opportunity to use their gifts. Paul advised in 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way that you live, in your love, in your faith, and your purity." So we are without excuse, but instead of serving God as just an obligation, turn it around. This is an opportunity, not a duty. This is your chance to contribute what God has uniquely given to you. You have a special piece of the puzzle. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 that each believer has received a gift that manifests the Spirit's power and presence. That gift is given for the good of the whole community. This means that you, yes, you, really do have a part to play. It may take time to find the way that you need to serve, but start with something small. Use the gifts that you know you have. For a long time, I used my gifts and skills in volunteer services in churches and ministries. I still do. These range from writing and administration to audio production, websites and art, hospitality, encouragement, and loving on people. Each of these skills are a part of the multifaceted Lorianne. Think of the gifts God has given you. It could be anything at all. Sometimes these gifts are obvious, but some are hidden and need to be developed. Here's an example. My friend Janie is the most amazing baker, and when she teaches her students, including me, she instills love, confidence, and empowerment. Is that all she is? No, by no means. She's been given a lot more gifts, but these are the ones that shine the brightest in her life, other than her deep compassion for others, intense curiosity, and understanding of languages. Have you offered up your own natural gifts to God? Will you let God transform them into a blessing? Then there are the spiritual gifts. He gives those to minister to people around us as well. We are encouraged to ask for spiritual gifts, but it is God who decides. He knows which gifts would fit us far better than we would do. Paul shares in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 11 that it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. When we begin to use our gifts in service to the Lord, something wonderful happens in our hearts. This is a real opportunity to grow because this isn't just any service. You have been given the right gifts that are needed at the right time. For example, this could be as an engineer drilling wells in water in Africa. Or perhaps the gift could be an elementary school teacher who has become a home mother to African orphans. It could be an out-of-work media person becoming the front line of a drop-in ministry center. All of these examples involve something cutting-edge that keeps us leaning on God's grace. When you are on the cutting edge, it keeps you depending on the Holy Spirit for the compassion, mercy, and guidance that only God can give. When we turn our difficulties to become His opportunities, we begin to see amazing things happen. We begin to allow God to work through us. When we develop this holy dependence on God, we take the focus off of ourselves and put it on God. It's about Him and not us. Our attitude changes from being a star, where it is about us, and a servant, where it's about Jesus. Author Philip Yancey says there are basically two types of people, stars and servants. Stars would be anyone who was famous in the area of the arts, sports, TV personalities, movie stars, and the like. Servants are often the relief workers in troubled spots, counselors, missionaries, and people who relieve others' suffering. Yancey found that the stars are generally miserable and self-doubting, and the servants are generally happier. Despite the fact that they had low pay, long hours, and less recognition, somewhere in the process of losing their lives, they found them. In other words, the servants were happier than the people who had lived only for themselves. In the process of serving God, they found joy in depending on Him. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul gets at in Philippians 2, verses 3 to 11. I'll give you the version set to music by Holy Trinity Brompton in London. I'll sing this over you.
May your attitude be as that of Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness.
He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death.
So as when we allow ourselves to depend on God as we serve Him, our attitude begins to change. When our attitude changes, we are then given even deeper joy as we serve. In some ways, this is a cyclical process, but it is also a process that deepens us. This process strengthens our dependence on God's promises and resources. And since God is always faithful in His promises and His love, we also step into gratitude and thankfulness. We have gratitude and thankfulness that God gives us opportunities. He risks in giving us the grace for everything we need as we use our gifts. He risks everything for a relationship with us. For this, we can be thankful. So what will you do with your gift? Lord, thank you for the gifts you have given us. I ask that you will encourage my friends who are listening in their own gifts. I speak life to all the gifts that are dormant and hidden. May these dear ones find these hidden gifts that have been buried in life circumstances. May they be encouraged to grow in them and give glory to you. Let your investment in all of us take root and grow to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Copples Western Cape Radio.
And that was Listener Kids with This Little Light of Mine. You heard the audio, but that comes from a most entertaining video. If you search for it, you'll see a light bulb bobbling down the streets. It's a lot of fun. And we played that music at two different kids' clubs yesterday, and we had the kids all walking around, marching to the music and thoroughly enjoying it. It's got a great kid appeal. I think it's got great appeal to adults as well. Anyway, we're now going to have a couple of pieces of worship music that have been brought to our attention and we want to share with you. The first one is Hilom and Rane Alo. And this song came out a couple of years ago. It's called Arise, off an album called Arise. We liked it so much, we checked out the rest of the album and got it all off iTunes. So we're happy to present that. And after Arise, you'll hear a friend of ours, Josiah Milnes, and his friend Victoria Bredfeldt with Joy of the Lord. And that's a song by Josiah, who is a worship leader and quite a lot of other things in Ottawa, where we come from. And I work with Josiah in aspects of program preparation, and so I'm very, very happy to present his music, his brand new music, to our South African audience and our Ottawa audience as well. So first, Hilom and Rene.
For too long have we been silent, too long we've compromised, too long we have been blinded and held captive by lies, too long have we been overcome instead of taking ground. The battle is already won, so why aren't we seeing kingdom come? It's time to arise, it's time to arise. No longer bound by fear, his kingdom's drawing near. This is our time to arise.
Time to arrive, no longer bound by fear.
time to arise. No longer bound by fear, his kingdom's drawing near. This is our time to arise.
Is God your healing and your friend, or means to an end? Is he your respite, your relief, or a cheery meet and greet? Is God your refuge and your strength, and a shelter in a storm? Is he your comfort and your peace, or a treasure you release? As for me, by his grace I can sing. The joy of the Lord and all the hope of glory is my strength. My joy is the Lord, he's my salvation. He is my liberty from lies and insecurities. The joy of the Lord and hope of glory is my strength. The hope of glory is my strength. My joy is the Lord, he's my salvation.
He is my liberty from lies and insecurities.
The joy of the Lord and hope of glory is my strength. Joy is the Lord, he's my salvation. He is my liberty from lies and insecurities. The joy of the Lord and hope of glory is my strength.
Josiah Mills and Victoria Bredfeldt. The 9th of September marked the 19th anniversary of FAST Day. That's Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Day. And here in Worcester, we have Francois Robillard and his organization, FAST Facts. And on that day, I played an interview that he was kind enough to give me back in March, and I just played that program over and over again. So with a bit of luck, some people might have heard it. He's a passionate worker against the scourge of FAS, and he spoke at our church, Worcester Christian Church, and that was followed by a powerful sermon by Johan Schoonrad, our pastor, which just slotted in beautifully with Francois's talk. A day later, the 10th, of September, I was just driving my car, driven into the Pick and Pay car park, and I turned on SAFM, and an interview was taking place with Hendrietta Bogopane Zulu, the Deputy Minister of Social Development. I started listening, and I realized this is something really good, and so I captured it on my phone, and I want you to hear it. The South African government is clearly well aware of the crisis that we have with FAS here in this country at the present time. Worst situation in the world for this terrible condition. And please, 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 if you know anyone who is pregnant or is planning to be pregnant or is breastfeeding, they have to hear these facts. Just please get the message out to anyone that you know. Maybe you can just forward the podcast of this program. And please listen up. I apologize for the quality of the recording. It's just my phone and listening to my car radio. But the message is clear. And now this will take us beyond the normal end time for the Worcester Reports. And so I won't be speaking to you again. God bless you all for being our listeners. We hope you've enjoyed this program. Please listen to this particular item, and I maybe will add some nice soaking music at the end, as we usually do. God bless you all. This is Tony, signing off.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
For us to speak to our girls, that not only because you're the mother that gives birth to the girl, let's all mother our girls. You don't have to give birth to the girl for you to give the girl the best information. When you drink alcohol under the age of 18, girls and boys, people tend to think 18 is a chronological age, but it's not. It's scientifically proven that at that time you are still developing. And whatever you put in your mouth, whether it's alcohol at that time, it becomes part of your developmental aspect. So by the time you want to plan, if you drink under the age of 18, that alcohol is there in your system for the next 10 years. Because your body is developing, so it forms part of your DNA, but it also forms part, it's there in your bloodstream, and your body takes much, much longer to break it down because your body is not as well developed as it should be yet to break down alcohol. And the painful thing is, whether it's an advert that might play on Masichaba's show about whatever alcohol, all of the other stories will be heard clearly. But when it gets to that very important message, which is always at the end, you just get...
Of course, not safe for consumption. Were you pregnant? And you're like,
it's like,
okay.
Like malicious compliance. Government said we must comply, therefore we'll comply. And then a millisecond is used to deliver the most important message. But as the department, we're running these campaigns. And I can tell you, Masichaba, I did the 9 days marathon. We started in Saldanha. We went to Kwanongoma. We went to Bilabila. We went to Putadichaba, we went to Taung, and it became very clear. We went to Gamos, so we didn't just go to the big cities. We went to the villages, went to the rural areas to try and understand so that whatever that comes out of the 999, what must we do differently? The first thing that became very clear is that we need to communicate. We need to share information. A part of me, inside of me, Masichaba, always wants to believe that no woman wants to harm their baby. And when you take that step consciously, that means you're evil. But it became clear women are drinking because they actually don't know the dangers. And they said, Deputy Minister, we don't know.
I was going to ask that, Deputy Minister, that are women... aware? You know, we all hear, you know, you shouldn't drink while pregnant, but do we understand what drinking if you're pregnant entails? Do we understand what the effects of fetal alcohol syndrome are on the child?
No. I have learned as I walked and made this journey is that it is that thing where you equate it to sex, where the mother says, don't sleep with the boys. When I don't ask them, what are they going to do to you? It ends, the conversation suddenly stops. So everybody knows, don't drink when you are pregnant. But even at the antenatal clinic, the sisters are not equipped to actually explain to the women. And the women were saying, the one lady was saying, Deputy Minister, I'm switching with a child. And by the time I found out, I had had a glass of wine. When the sister told me you are pregnant, I asked her, oh my God, I had one glass of wine. How is it going to affect my child? She said, I don't worry, it was just one glass of wine. That time it was her first trimester, which meant that wine...
That's the developmental stage.
Through the umbilical cord to the fetus, and there she sits with it. And she said, so one got to get the reality of we must educate women. Before we begin to start pointing fingers, making them feel guilty, to a point, there was a point where I felt like, look, maybe we must just arrest women for child neglect, you know? This is not funny anymore. Because then it became clear, women just don't know. But our girls were all like, what? The life orientation class is supposed to also be educating them on things like that. And the teacher said, oh, well, Deputy Minister, truth be told, this information you are giving us, we're hearing it from you, packaged in a language we understand, simplified and not big medical ways, from you. Sitting in this workshop, we've learned from you because you made it simple. Otherwise, it's just a big term that actually does not mean anything to me. Because, and that became clear.
And the reason I ask that is it concerns me when I see children that clearly were born with fetal alcohol syndrome, and it's shrugged off as an or slow, you know, he or she is slow, or he or she has a big head, or has big ears, and it's a characteristic. It's not cause for concern. So that clearly comes across that there is very, very little knowledge of what brought about the slowness. That this is not a natural slowness. This child was not born slow, and had the parent stopped drinking, then this child would not be slow or would not be falling behind in class.
That is why I've decided to also, in a way, be horrible, but nice at the same time, because I think until we tell each other the truth, we are not going to make the progress. And I was being very harsh to women to say, You pick up that glass. Let's say you don't have the information as majority of them claimed. And I said, you pick up the glass, you steal your baby's future. Mm. You steal. And then that child will have to carry that label. And that is why it's a spectrum. And I said, it's because it depends on the time and still you were at. Mm-hmm. It depends on how high the alcohol content. It's also how often you drank it. So all of those determines the severity of the fast of the child. And it's painful, Masara. It hurts. Mm. For us who see these children every day and who know actually what happened. When I was in Secunda in Mpumalanga, one young girl said to me, you don't have the right, Deputy Minister, to tell us our children are slow. You don't have the right to tell us that, oh, you are not a medical doctor. I'm like, well, you know, I'm such a disability expert. I don't need the doctor to tell me, because there's some of these things don't need rocket science. Mm. Mm. And the doctors must also begin to tell women the truth and stop coming up with these medical fancy terms called intellectual disability. We must say, mama, your child is drunk, and therefore that's your child's future. Until we do that, we are not going to see the change. We're going to see people making excuses. We're going to have reasons I didn't know. And there's no recourse either. And the same women who used alcohol, labeling their children, giving them the unbaptized name, Masichanba, became slow learner, becomes an idiot, becomes stupid, becomes big head, becomes small boy, whatever the names they're coming. Mm. We gave them those names. Bomangani. Whatever the horrible stigma that child has to live with, we gave it to them. And then we want to fight for their rights after we stopped fighting for their rights before they were born. And I think that's what women must understand. Fight for your child's rights before you put to bed. Before you deliver that child, protect and defend the child's rights. Don't want to protect and decide for the child when the people call your child names after the child is born. Then all of a sudden you want to be this caring mother. Care before that child is born. But as South Africans also must have, we must stop looking away. It's not like pregnant women drink in mass. They drink in front of us. Mm, they drink in our homes. They drink in our families. Mm. Sometimes even their husbands bring them alcohol. And research has shown us that a woman that has a partner that is supportive, they're not likely to drink. But we want men to also take the responsibility to be fathers to these children before the child is born, to be supportive and to be sober at least for that time and be supportive. And not say, hey, Raratana Marataka, Arena Gaufel. Because when that child is born, Umangani with the big head and the small body, the same partner says, ah, Master, you are going to tell me where you got that child from. You see, my family don't have such. And you are left holding the baby. He forgot you were dancing together at Masbani's tavern, that you were hugging each other and dancing the night away. You are now the one that is being blamed. You are the one that is carrying the baby. But unfortunately, you are the one that's the one that must give life. So please, ladies, let's not steal it.
My concern, Deputy Minister, is that in instances where the woman is drinking excessively, to the point where the child contracts fetal alcohol syndrome, they themselves have their own problems and issues to deal with. So the chances of this mother being pregnant, being present during the upbringing of the child are slim. So grandmothers are then left to bring up these children who are ill. But they themselves don't know how to cope. They themselves don't know how to support these ill children.
Exactly. And that is reality, Mashaba. But in the mix, throw in the care dependency grant of 1,700 that we as social development pay to parents of disabled children. Throw that in the mix. Then you'll see the chaos. Because the grandmother is left with the baby, but the money has gone to Johannesburg. The money that is supposed to be looking after the child, buying the nappies that the child will have to put on for the rest of their life, the liquid diets or whatever, all the challenging, depending on the severity, the wheelchair that the grandmother will have to look after, the payment of the extra three. For every trip she makes to the clinic, it's three people, it's the wheelchair, the child, and herself. But the mother has the SASSA card with them, and they have not left. And what do? They drink this money that SASSA gives them instead of the money going to the child.
Yeah, we're talking about fetal alcohol syndrome, taking your calls on 0891 104207, 0891 104207. We're talking to the Deputy Minister of Social Development, Mrs. Henrietta Mogopane-Zulu. Deputy Minister, you had went so far as to say that, and you mentioned it earlier on, that women who consume alcohol during pregnancy should be arrested. Do you still stand by that?
You know, Mr. Chavez, we will only do so much awareness. We will only do so much information sharing. And at some stage, it's not Henrietta that says there needs to be options, and the fact that we need to look at whether we should begin to charge women criminally. I think it's important. The communities where we pass feel frustrated. They feel angry. They feel betrayed. And they are saying, Deputy Minister, as the head of this campaign, what are the options? At what point are we going to start charging women criminally? Because actually, it is a criminal offense for them. Because they are undermining the rights of children. And in the South African Constitution, the rights of children are the only rights that are absolute. They are the only rights that are not progressive. Because the rights of children you have to achieve now. So what are the options is the questions the communities are asking. And the communities lay out saying, maybe we should charge women criminally. Maybe my responsibility is to communicate like I'm doing now. What is South Africa saying? What have we found as we went along? And I can give you, we were in Butadijaba Masjab. And what came out, the community said to us, let's make you understand what people go to the length of getting a beer. Deputy Minister, they sell their own daughters to married men so they can get alcohol. Now, tomorrow it cannot be turned to say, Deputy Minister said, women, they have to communicate and say, we have a problem in Butadijaba. Young girls are sold to old married men for alcohol. We were in Bilabila and the community said, ah, here, it's two beers were better black. I'm like, what is better black? No, Deputy Minister, one round. Women say, buy me two beers and then I'll have a round of sex with you. Where is the condom at that time? So when I communicate these things, I have to. Because people are saying, let's charge these women criminally. Because it's child neglect. As much as that child is still in the stomach, when you drink alcohol and you know you are pregnant, you are committing a crime against a child, against the fetus, because that fetus is now a human being.
Mm.
And those debates we must have to say, what are the options? But the numbers must come down. It's the same thing as HIV. We're not going to treat ourselves out of the epidemic, Nostrad. Something must happen for us to begin to take responsibility for our sexual behavior. It's those discussions.
I want to talk about support to pregnant mothers, because I think that also plays a huge, huge part. But before we go there, let's take Vuyelwa in Bedford View. Vuyelwa, good morning.
Hi, Sissy.
Hello, ma'am.
I just opened it. I didn't hear the beginning of the top of the topic. But in the Mama Lo, yeah, with Nyamtang, yes. Yeah, because really, the things that I just heard, she's talking really thing. Because I agree with her 100% about pregnant women that needs to be arrested. And you know, my sister, like now, we're talking about the depression. And I always say, why now the depression? Because then you find the mother and the father, they are drinking. And this guy is poop drunk, he's making babies. Do you think that drunk man is going to produce a child that is healthy? Some of that child is going to be affected.